This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is being cheerful during bad times, part one. My scripture is Acts 23:1-13, which reads, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto them, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and thou commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out into the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would not neither eat nor drink till they have killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. My text is Acts 23:11, which states, And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. It is difficult to be cheerful when things are going wrong. It is difficult to smile when you are hurting inside. However, it is possible to have a smile even in bad times. You can still be cheerful. It is good to be able to be cheerful even in bad times. Bad times will come, but we cannot quit because of bad times. The world has all kinds of problems. Woe! In various places. Tornadoes are occurring in different places. Crime is running wild, yet God's children can still be cheerful. Let us look at Paul. Paul is facing accusers who want to see him dead. The previous day, Paul saw a great opportunity go unfulfilled when the crowd at the Temple Mount did not allow him to finish his message to them, but started rioting again. Now Paul had another opportunity to win Israel to Jesus, and perhaps a better opportunity. Here he spoke to the council with the opportunity to preach Jesus to these influential men. Paul said, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul probably thought this was an innocent enough way to begin his preaching. He did not mean that he was sinlessly perfect and that his conscience had never told him he was wrong. Rather, he meant that he had responded to conscience when he had done wrong and had set things right. See here the character of an innocent man. He sets God before him and nails as in his sight. He makes conscious of what he says and does, and according to the best of his knowledge, he keeps from whatever is evil and cleaves to what is good. He is conscientious in all his words and conduct. Those who thus live before God may, like Paul, have confidence both toward God and man. In this crowd was Ananias, the high priest. Ananias commanded those who stood by Paul to strike him on the mouth. Paul spoke, and his claim of a good conscience offended the priest. He thought that someone accused of such serious crimes should never claim a clear conscience. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." Ananias, who commanded that a defenseless man be punched in the face, indeed was a whitewashed wall, a white veneer of purity covering over obvious corruption. "For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" Paul exposed the hypocrisy of Ananias. Those who stood by said, "Do you scold God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.' Great men may be told of their faults, and public complaints may be made in a proper manner. But the law of God requires respect for those in authority." Paul had gotten into trouble with the high priest, Sadducees, and the Pharisees. But when Paul perceived that the one part of the council were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he identified himself with the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in angels and spirits and in a future resurrection, though they did not accept Jesus' resurrection. The Sadducees rejected the very idea of a resurrection, as well as belief in angels and spirits. Consistent with this, the Pharisees granted that a spirit or angel might have visited Paul, while the Sadducees rejected this possibility altogether. This caused a division among the multitude who came to oppose Paul. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is God's love. The prison industry in America is big business, and some have called it the new Jim Crow. On a recent prison documentary, one of the inmates stated that she felt love and respect in prison that she never felt at home. She said that her father left home when she was young and that her mother was not around much. She said the pain of not feeling love drove her to the pipe. And when she hit that crack pipe, it took away her pain. Please understand that we can all endure a great deal of pain and what we call not fair life experiences when we know who loves us. Everybody wants to be loved. However, sometimes we do not receive the love we desire. Have you ever felt unloved? The pain of not feeling love sometimes drives us to make unwise decisions. Decisions like turning to illegal drugs, alcohol, abusive relationships, or other addictions that may not be in our best interest. However, be encouraged because there is good news. From Genesis to Revelation, from Earth's greatest tragedy to Earth's greatest triumph, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest heights can be couched in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16. Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse is an alphabet of grace and a table of contents to the Christian hope. In this great verse, we see the highest statement of theology, as it portrays God's nature as a God who deeply loves. It portrays the genius of soteriology as it shows how God planned to rescue mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Millions of people read the verse, but only a handful trust it. Some people believe it's too good to be true. Many people misunderstand God's attribute of love. God is love does not mean that everything is happy and sweet, or that God's love could not possibly allow punishment for sins. God's holiness and divine law demand that all sin be punished. However, God's love provided a plan of redemption and salvation for a lost world. By that plan, Jesus came from heaven to give his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for our sin. But we must respond. We must believe. We must commit our lives to Jesus Christ and trust him as our Lord and Savior. Do you have an attitude of gratitude for God's love? Will you respond to his call to eternal salvation by faith in him? If so, everlasting life is yours. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Righteous.